Dwayne Brummett here with Allie Alborigo, SchoolOwnerTalk.com. Allie, good to be with you on this Monday morning.
Yes, it's definitely always a great Monday when we get to chat. Even on the days that we miss Mondays, I feel a little bit thrown off nowadays. You know, like it's like I was supposed to talk to Dwayne. We usually motivate each other. We, you know, and here's an interesting thing. I think that school owners, and they could use our audio, our blog as a way to be motivated, because even if it's not specific topic or a specific area that they could learn from, just being around like-minded people inspires you to be better yourself. Don't you agree?
Totally. And just sometimes listening to the conversations, even if you can't be involved, being involved with them spurs ideas that sometimes aren't necessarily related to the conversations.
Right. Oh, yeah, definitely. Without a doubt. I get that all the time. And that's why I've always been and I'm also quite shocked at how people aren't, but I've always been a big seminar guy. For quite some time, there wasn't a seminar that I wouldn't attend, and it was from every aspect of life, whether it be from, you know, Dr. Kawasaki, and he's the one who did the water theory, where, you know, water and the energies in water and, you know, and that kind of thing, down to Rob Kiyosaki, you know, who wrote, you know, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, or Donald Trump real estate seminars, or martial art events, and so on. It just always kept me on the top of my game. It always made me be thinking like a leader and moving forward. So I think that's important. So I think that if people are listening, even if it may not be the most sexiest topic headline, you know, listen anyway, because it just, you know, what's it going to take? You drive in your car, you're on your way to the school, or you're on your way to the supermarket. Rather than listening to songs, maybe listen a portion of the day to, you know, audio series that could help you, self-help video, not video, audios that will keep you motivated.
Yeah, and you know, the nice thing about the technology now is, like, if you have an iPhone, you know, for us, we have a podcast, and now we actually have the ability to do the same thing on Android devices. And if you're interested, you know, you want that, then, you know, just go to schoolownertalk.com, and then you can click on your device and be taken to the right places for that. And what's cool about that is, you know, like for mine, I have podcasts on my iPhone, and they automatically, like when they get updated on their website, they automatically get updated on my phone, and then it shows me that I have an unplayed podcast from schoolownertalk.com or any other ones that I subscribe to.
Me too. I think that was the coolest thing. I'm like, wow, check it out. I just got reminded of our, you know, podcast.
Yeah.
It was awesome to see. And, you know, just like, you know, you look at it and you're like, wow, this is kind of cool. You know, there's information. You know, I always said when I coached, I would do this kind of in a test way. And I would say to a school owner, I go, what if I could give you all the information you'll ever need to run your school, no questions asked? Or what if you, and I tell my students this too, what if you needed to find out, what if you could find one resource to find any information on any topic in the world? Would that be worth your while? Would you do it? And people get all excited. And I go, well, you know, at the time I could say, you go to the library. Every book written could tell you every answer to every question in one library. Or go to the internet, you know, or join my program, my online program, or whatever it may be. It's all there for you. So it's really, this not like we don't have information. When I opened my school 25 years ago, there was no information. It was me flying by the seat of my pants. Yes, I had my teacher, but he wasn't a great businessman. And I basically did I thought I should do, you know, until I realized that I have to run this like a business, and I started to search out business owners, and then the information started to become more and more available. And I was one of those first consultants working for Member Solutions, going out there sharing every week and doing calls with people, helping them. You know, we're talking about 15, 18 years ago. So it was pretty interesting. So, I mean, people have access to it all. There's no excuse for being, you know, kind of lost and oblivious.
Yeah, I think nowadays the tough part is sifting through and finding the good information over the bad information. I think is
right.
Probably the, you know, most of it, I would say, back 15, 20 years ago, you know, even maybe 10 years ago, it was probably all good information.
Yeah.
we're now, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, well, because there was so little of it, anything you got was good, right? Nowadays, it's all based around, you know, egotistical coaching from the successful school owners that become coaches, that their way is the only way, the hot, and you know, their way is, you know, if you don't like it their way, it's the highway. And you know, they don't really understand that every single person sees and hears things from a different perspective. And I think it was I watched Bar Rescue recently, and the guy who runs the show, John Taffer, he talked about BR, brand recognition, you know, so that how important it is to separate yourself from everyone else within your community, or at least explain why your place is different and why people should want to come to you. And that's branding. However, when I ask people, and we've had this topic on many of our calls about branding, it's, you know, people don't even understand the concept of what a brand is. I ask a karate school owner, what's your brand? And they say Taekwondo or Hapkido or Wing Chun. That's not your brand. Your brand is what you've built, you know, that whole entire empire around what your style, your system, the way you treat your customers, your logo, the feeling, the colors when people come to your school. All of those things are what create a brand. In fact, I'll tell you a quick story. We just built a website for a friend of mine, and he came from one of the other big companies, his website, and we took it over. And the other site was a template-based kind of site, and we built a website for him that's very brand-specific. And if he listens to this, he's going to smile and laugh, because I've been telling him this for months. Finally, we took over his site. He had a guy the other day join his school and go, oh, when I went to your website, I just felt like I was in Japan, and I got a feeling and a certain energy from it, and it made me feel a certain way. That's what true branding is. So it's going to go from, you know, the website to the when they – now if they walk into his school and his school had red, white, and blue flags and it was more sport-based, there'd be a real big disconnect of the two. And then we kind of have sold him on one ball of wax, so to speak, and now he's trying to do another. So we have to make it congruent. Website has to be a representation of what the school is all about. And then the school has to represent the look and feel, and the smell of the school has to represent what you teach on the floor. So that's where we connect the brand. But anyway, we're kind of getting off on a topic, but it's kind of relevant because we wanted to talk about, or you and I were chatting before we even started, about the successes you've had in marketing this coming season. And I wanted to share that with our clients, because it's such an amazing thing and how you get people through the door and your conversion ratios and all of that. So I wanted to pick your brain a little. So tell the listeners a little bit about what you've done, some of the specials that were pretty much grassroots, what they call guerrilla marketing, very low cost, and how you're getting the numbers of people through the door to you know, get them in the taste, feel, and see your brand.
Certainly. Well, I think the biggest thing is I try to repurpose or use everything that I've got to its fullest. So, you know, if I'm going to do something, I don't just do it. I try to see if there is, you know, other ways that I can utilize it for more longevity. So what I kind of mean by that is we had a, like, for instance, I knew that I was going to do a summer special this year. I upped my price from the previous year. I did some testing last year for our summer special. I did $19.95 plus a free uniform for 3 months of karate last year. And I did that from the month of May until June. Well, then I had people calling me still last year wanting the $19.95 special, but it was already done. So we bumped it to $39.95 for 3 months and for uniform. And last year we ended up – we signed up more people that paid the $39.95 than the ones that paid the $19.95. Now, I tell that story because this year what we did was I was like, okay, I'm going to do the $39.95. And obviously, I signed up more people with that number, probably because they were willing to invest more and all those things. But anyways, so that's what we did this year. And I went ahead and put the special till the middle of June. So it started in May, went to the middle of June. So I knew that I was going to do that. And I wanted to leverage the special to get more people on it and spend less money to do it. And so, of course, I did Facebook ads. I did it for a couple of weeks. I ended up spending maybe, I don't know, maybe $200, $250 for the Facebook ads.
Right.
But alongside of that, I do, and if you went to my personal page or our fan page, I post a lot. So I ended up with that summer special, I ended up posting probably 5 to 6 to 7 times a day, that special on my personal page and on my Facebook, you know, fan page, about it. Image, and we talked about this before on another call, but you know, the image is the exact same image that you're going to see when you come to the website. Of course, that has to do with branding, has to do with continuity. Anyways, but to leverage everything, in May, we always do an end of the school year buddy bash, where I pick 3 Friday nights and we do it for 2 hours, and it's free. And I know I've talked about this on another call, but it's free. And in order to come, though, it's free if you bring a non-karate friend.
Right.
And so I only allow 20 of my students per night. So that gives me 60 people. Out of those 60 people, let's just go on the low end, because I don't have the numbers or anything in front of me to know exactly who were first-timers. But let's just say 40, even 30 people were first-timers, meaning that I don't have their information, and maybe the other half I do. So everybody that left that day, you know, after that Friday night, it was from 6:30 to 8:30, and they all get a $39.95 special to come and do karate. And also, they got an anti-abduction opportunity to come in and do a free anti-abduction class, because I run that at the end of the school year in May as well. And I don't remember the numbers on the anti-abduction seminar that we did, but I want to say it was like 70 something, 80, close to there, where we had, sign up for the anti-abduction seminar. And so what I did was, of course, everybody that came to the anti-abduction seminar also got the summer special. Long story short, now that we're, end of June here, we've had thus to this point, we have 74 people on our summer special trial. And I've spent, $250 for, let's say, the Facebook ads, and I spent maybe for the Buddy Bash, I ended up spending, maybe $20 in total, because all I did was give them cookies at a snack break, for all 3 of those. So maybe $20 in cookies, probably not even that much. And then for the anti-abduction, I spent, I bought a banner and a road sign that I already had, but okay, so maybe another $200. So altogether, I don't know what that is, but let's say it's $500
right.
that I spent on that. And then you take 74 people times $39.95, whatever that comes out to be, I've definitely made my money back, even with giving them a uniform. But it's the fact that I tried to leverage the special that I was doing and give it to, to multiple people and not spend a ton of money to do that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. And what I'd like to bring out as I'm listening to you, I think it's important for listeners to hear this. And what I'm hearing as well is, getting the leads for some people is difficult. For others, leads come in. We don't even realize the amount of leads we actually get, right? So I'll give you a quick example, and then we'll get right back on your topic. I once went to a school in Manhattan, a friend of mine, and I reviewed his school, and I saw a box filled with trial class waivers, like first-time people who came in or called up and said they were going to come in. I mean, no joke, it was 2-foot-tall, probably about 1,000 people. Now, the guy's right in Manhattan, very busy area. So I'm like, what do you do with these leads? He's like, oh, I'm going to throw them away. And I'm like, what do you mean you're going to throw them away? He goes, well, there are people that I called and they didn't call me back, or they came in once and I didn't follow up. I'm like, dude, you need to follow up every single day. Every one of those represents a stack of dollars, $1,200, so you need to market people. So and anyway, with your stuff, knowing that you're bringing leads in through these different advertising campaigns, whether it be referrals or buddy days and all that, now what do people do to sign them up? So let's tell the audience or your people who are listening, what people and how you treat it. Now they come into your school and you got amount of leads. You said you had 70 that were still off of like an overflow of another event you had just done. It's still coming in, correct?
Yeah. Some of the people we had to put on a waiting list because I probably have, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 other people on a waiting list right now for that summer special because I have nowhere to put them.
Right. Well, that's a great problem to have, that's for sure.
And, but I guess the point of everything is that if I'm going to, you know, spend money on marketing, and oh, by the way, I just thought about this, is I did put two newspaper ads in, and each of them were $140 each. So now I'm up to 700 and something, right? So,
right.
But if I'm going to do something, I try to leverage it for as long as I possibly can. So like, for instance, you know, the anti-abduction seminar, I do that because I genuinely want my kids, obviously in my own studio, but then in the community, I want them to have access to this information and to be able to be safe. And with that specifically, I, you know, got on the radio station for the anti-abduction seminar where I did, you know, a couple of station interviews. I wrote a press release and it was actually on the front page of our weekly, it's the only weekly paper. We have daily paper here and we have a weekly paper here, but I was on the front page of the weekly paper for the anti-abduction seminar. And I'm sure that helped, you know, to get people in. And so I try to leverage everything to the fullest, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what, I'd like you to talk a little bit more, if you could, about leverage. You know, so I look at leverage many different ways, and I'm sure we both do because we talk about it all the time. You know, to me, when I hear the word leverage, what I really am hearing is multiple layers of things that you could be doing, right? Leveraging, you know, one specific campaign into multiple streams of campaigns. You know, so for example, I do a parents' night out, and it's not just a parents' night out, it's a parents' night out, buddy day, bring a friend, half price, you know, then we offer a membership to that friend, you know, or I do a parents' training for Father's Day, and that is offering a membership and talking to the parents about trying out class. However, I look at that as more of a way for me to cement the values of what we do and to try to encourage them to understand what we do and not allowing the kids to quit, et cetera, et cetera. So how is it leveraging, like when you leverage things, do you have like a certain pattern? Is there like a certain step of five things? In fact, we've given this away before, and I call it my marketing action worksheet. It's nothing more than asking questions. And I developed that by watching The Apprentice years ago when it was the first Apprentice with Donald Trump, and knowing like, wow, I'm missing the boat on many of these things. I'm missing other things I could have been doing to leverage the event. So can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess it comes down to, and you chime in, feel free, obviously, to chime in, but if I'm going to spend money on something, I want it to have legs. I don't want it just to be stationary. I want it to be something that I can not only, hopefully, not only just use this time, but I also want it to be able to be, duplicated into other things. So, like, for instance, you know, some people might be listening to this call and thinking that, okay, well, that's all well and good. Now I got to wait until next year to be able to use that idea. Well, no, you don't, because I use that same idea come August and September. So I start my back to school campaign for August. And I also do in September, I do a back to school buddy bash. So it's the same buddy bash that I did end of school, but I just call it back to school buddy bash. And I do the same three, you know, I pick three Fridays, 20 people, that same thing. But then in September, I also do a bully buster. So I'm bringing people in for the bully buster. And then obviously anybody that comes into the back to school buddy bash, the bully buster, they're getting the same back to school offer. So I just, you know, duplicated what I did at the end of the school year and did it for the beginning of school year. And I didn't have to reinvent anything. Obviously, the marketing is a little bit different because, you know, I want to market the summer as giving their kid an activity and also learning these values and becoming a better person. And then you just change it up a little bit with regards to the fact that it's more about school and structure and those type of things, going back to school. We want to make sure that they're, you know, their head is in the game, that type of thing. So, but other than that, it's the same thing. I mean, I'm not changing my program, but I am just highlighting different aspects of it depending on the time of year that I am advertising it, if that makes sense.
That's totally. And then, you know, it's interesting. What I liked about what you said was how, you know, one goes into the next. Like, it's not like it's, you know, one campaign and then you're done. Because I think very many school owners think very singular. You know, like, for example, I did a seminar in Vegas, so we've talked about it. It's, you know, finding gold under your tatami mats. That was the name of the seminar. It was well attended. There was like 350, 400 people in the room. And I basically talked about how we just leverage upsells and we talk about specific things and how things work from one to the next and how we were able to sell retail or upgrade a program or put them into a private lesson. I'll give you an example. I have my one black belt. His name is Renchi Ryan, and he basically is building a team to be able to compete in the events that I have in my tournament circuit. And most importantly, we want to get more people to grapple in my Grapple Fest, which is a new grappling tournament that we just started. So he basically took that idea and he put it into a class, and he's doing a 14-week course on grappling and kickboxing. So that was cool. Many people were nervous about going in the tournament, so he's now preparing them. Well, he just put the word out there, and within 2 days, he was packed. He wanted to take 22 people, and within 2 days, it was closed out. So I'm like, wow, maybe we should separate now, put the kids in one group at 22 and adult and do two classes. So he leveraged this kickboxing class from the tournament, and now we're going to have people who are going to be competing in the tournament. So these two things are synergistic, and they work hand in hand. Now, of course, they're buying shin pads, they're buying gloves, they're buying shorts, et cetera, et cetera. So when we think in layers, we think to ourselves, what if I do this and this succeeds? What could I do with that, right, to make it even better?
Absolutely. Well, and you know, like, what's nice about the summer is, you know, we do T-shirt summer for our students, and you have to wear a TriStar T-shirt in order to not wear your uniform top. And I don't even know the numbers, but I would say, you know, 70% of those 74 people that are on summer trial bought a T-shirt as well. You know, just so they could participate. Some bought two, but most of them just bought one. You know, and you leverage everything to its fullest. And I'm sure I might be missing something. I mean, there might be something else that I could leverage. And here's the other thing is I do, in July, I do an overnighter. Right. And now I've got a fresh new, let's say out of those 74, let's say 60 of them are 12 and under. And I take 6 to 12-year-olds for my overnighter. And
right.
So now I have and all I want is, you know, 30 to 40 people for the overnighter at $35 a pop, which is pretty cheap for an overnighter anyways.
Yeah.
And so I've got a fresh new people to advertise that to. That's what I do even in the summer. Or excuse me, in the we've talked about Karate for Christmas before, but in February I do an overnighter, and you know, at the beginning of January I have brand new people that started and they've never been to the overnighter, and of course you get some of your, you know, your current people, not just the new people as well, but I've just got that fresh rotation all the time. That's why I do the same thing in October, or excuse me, November with an overnighter, because I've got. Or no, October for an overnighter, because I've got those back to school people that are on trial and that'll spend a little more and come into an overnighter. And, you know, it's cyclical, but, you know, you try to leverage everything.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, what's interesting, when I coach, I'm able to see things. And so I'm sure you do as well. When we're coaching, from the outside, you call it the 12,000 mile view or whatever, right? Or whatever, when we're looking out at someone's school, I'm able to think in that way when sometimes, and this is my quote, and I stole it from Stephen Covey, when we're in the thick of things, we're in the day-to-day, we're in that blender, that's my own thing, we're spinning around, we don't quite see things as clear because we're not really able to look at it objectively because we're in it. We're teaching the classes, we're running the school, we're answering the phone. So when I coach people, I'm able to say, are you doing this? Like, for example, so here's an idea. I'll throw it out at you. You probably are doing it already, but let's say you do an overnighter or a parents' night out. Do you do raffles that day of the events?
No.
Okay, so check this out. Here's an idea that I came up with years ago. So I put out 5 fish bowls on the counter, and I put out 5 gifts. And the gifts are things like upgrade to Black Belt Club, 50% off, a windbreaker jacket, one of my books, 2 of my DVDs, and there are 5 fish bowls with those things. And when people come in, I give them raffles for free. I don't charge them for them. And I say, hey, you get 2 raffles for free. Just fill out your name. And I'm not looking to make money on this. So really, what I do is, check this out. This is what I used to do and how I screwed up. After I was all done, I'd pull the winner and I'd throw the raffles away, right? And then I'd be like, okay, one guy won a jacket, one guy won half 50% off into my Black Belt Club upgrade, and one guy won a book, blah, blah, blah. I then realized that I was throwing the baby away with the bathwater. So as I'm giving out those gifts, those 5 gifts, what am I also doing? Leveraging them in sales, because they're only getting 2. So whatever they're putting their thing in, they're excited about possibly winning. They want a jacket. They want an upgrade to Black Belt Club. Now I have a bowl filled with prospects, right? Now the prospects are all black. There's a bowl filled with people who want to upgrade to Black Belt Club at 50% off. I could do a sale and say, hey, listen, although you didn't win the 50% off, I'm willing to give you 25% off if you'd like to upgrade right now. And I might have 30, 40 people in a bowl. Or, hey, Mrs. Jones, it seems like you wanted to get that jacket, although you didn't win. You know, the one person won, Mrs. Smith won, but all these other people, these other 40 people did not win. We'd like to give you a 30% discount on this jacket order that we're putting together, et cetera, et cetera. Right? So I'm leveraging the night, I'm leveraging the parents' night out into sales on other things, ancillary sales, right? So it's quite interesting, right? When we think about it, where are we throwing away our opportunities? And this should be maybe this could be the topic, or the title of our seminar is like, do you even know? You know, what we always say, you don't know what you don't know. Well, do you know how many opportunities a day you're actually throwing away? Right? That's important. Yep. So, you know, for people, I think that we could do these things, and now we're going like, okay, wow, I just turned my nut parent night out or my sleepover into sales of my gear, my Black Belt Club upgrades, and I have all these people. Now I'm just going to call them, and I'm not going to be pressuring them. I'm not going to pressure them. I'm going to just say, subtly, if you want, this is what we're doing. What do you think? Because they're already telling you, hey, I have an interest in this.
Yeah.
Makes sense?
Well, it makes perfect sense, and that's it. Yeah, that's beautiful. I love it.
Right.
As you were saying it, I'm thinking, okay, how can I use this in different areas? You know, so I was kind of lost in dreaming.
Yeah, and that's where for me, I think in multiple layers. You know, so I think this might be just my business training over the years. I've learned these things where you and I have learned things that, and there's an old saying that, like, I've forgotten more than most people have learned in their lifetime. I'm not saying this cocky. I've just been doing my business for 25 years, full time, really kicking butt. You know, so there's been a lot of mistakes, and there's been a lot of things that I realize that I forget. Here's another really cool, funny thing to do. When we do parents' night outs, we call this thing a ransom note. And we wrote it really kind of funny. It's a piece of paper with all different letters. It almost appears as if they were glued on, like when they Charles Manson did a ransom note or whatever, those guys back in the day, they'd cut little letters from different magazines and they glued them on a piece of paper. Well, that's what this ransom note looks like. And it says, we're not giving you your kids back until you fill this out. And then it's a questionnaire that basically ask them for a testimonial. Like, parents, what did you do when you went when you dropped your kids off? Did you go out to dinner? Did you go home and have fun? And then they write what they did, and then we have them sit with the kid and say, hey, what'd you like about this event? And then whatever they write, we take it and use it as a testimonial. So out of 50 or 80 of them, we might get 3 or 4 or 10 really great testimonials from people that we could put on our next flyer for our next event out. Like Mrs. Jones says, these parents' night outs are the best nights at all. I go home and I get to relax and finally throw my feet up, or I went and I got a manicure or a pedicure, or I went home with, and my husband and I went out to dinner, you know, while Shihan and his team, you know, took care of my kid and I could feel safe, you know. And then the kid writes, and I had the best time of my life. You know, it was so much fun. I can't wait till the next one. That's marketing right there.
Yeah.
That's really great stuff. So that's something that I also do at a parent night out. So I'm leveraging my, you know, the activity into other things. So we ask ourselves, how much have we missed out on by not doing these things? And these are really good things.
Yeah, I love it. I love the ransom note idea too.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. If you want, I have it. I'll send it to you. If you want, we'll put it up on the page.
Sure. Yeah, that'll work.
So for me, I'm always astounded by you and the amount of numbers, though, that you get. You know, you're not, like, getting 3 or 4 or 10 or 20. You're getting 70, 80. Like, you know, you're getting people that, you know, for your one special that you ran for the Christmas for the holidays, I got about 20, you got about 80, right? So, and a few things that you did that I didn't do, you ran an ad in the paper, you ran some ads on Facebook, you did a whole bunch of really cool things. But I mean, you're getting a lot of leads. That's more than some people get in an entire year, maybe 2 years through their door. So give me three top, you know, things that you'd look for when you try to market these events. What are three or four top things that you do?
Well, timing is important. If you're going to do a back to school special, you know, you can't start it in the middle of September. So I would say, obviously, the timing of the ad is vitally important. Offer obviously has to be there. And I think we talked about this on another call with regards to, you know, your headline and all those other things. But your offer has to be great. I always personally start out low. And then I start to try to push the envelope the next year. So, for instance, of course, last year I did 1995 for the summer special. Found out that $39.95 actually works better last year. So we'll wait and see what happens this year. And if that's the case, maybe I can push the envelope and do $59.95 next year. And,
yeah,
you know, maybe I don't sign up as many on the trial, but I end up signing up just as many, or if not more, to become a student. So so again, timing, and then your price point has to be really good. And then I guess maybe even before your price point, obviously the ad has to be something that actually is appealing with regards to, because, like, I don't know about you, I'm more of a wordy guy with regards, copy is king in ads for me. So
right.
I don't use a lot of images, or I'll sometimes never use an image, or if I do use an image, it's actually my face and our logo.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to be branded with that. I can't tell you how many times I have people say, oh, hey, I read your article in the newspaper.
Right.
And it was an ad. And if they're saying that, then obviously you're doing something right. So I would say those three things: timing, making sure that you started at the right time, making sure that your copy is workable, that it's actually appealing, and then the offer. And I mean, we could go a lot deeper into any of those, but that's kind of.
By the way, I wrote down quick notes on what you said on that. Like, so you say the word testing, so you kind of test your market. So in other words, sometimes, and I know this sounds, it might sound difficult for those listening, but you may think that $19.99 or $9.99 or free is a great deal. However, a $39.99 might draw more people than the $9.99 or the free, because it puts perceived value. Or we may find that we get better people at $39.99 versus giving it away for free, because those free people don't have anything invested, but people who have stepped up and maybe took a little bit of time to think it over before they drop their $40, they are much more qualified and they'll be easier to sign up later on down the road. For example, when I build websites for people, we like in our inquiry form to give information. We want their name, their phone number, their email, and a little bit of a comment on what they're looking to achieve. There are other companies out there that claim this is bad. We talked about this last time on our last call. No, don't do it. Don't ask for too much. People will pop out, you know. And again, rather than me going into a big long thing, don't I want qualified people? Yes, I want people that are really interested, rather than me, you know, thinking that they are. And we talked about it. Is it a lead? Is it a prospect? Is it a suspect? Last time. So we really need to look at it and say, well, what do we need to get qualified people? That's what we're looking for. And then by testing your price point, you found that higher price value gets you more people. And that might be your area. It might be the way you word things, but it is working for you, and you get a much more qualified lead, right?
Yeah, and I'll be totally transparent. I last year I saw somebody do an ad for their summer program for $100, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna blow that out of the water. That's why I did 1995. I was like, I kind of did it more out of spite than, but once I did it, I was like, and then like I said before, the special was over, and then I bumped the price for people that still were calling and wanting it. So I ended up testing it that way, but that wasn't my original idea. I just was like, you know, I'm going to show this guy up. And that sounds bad to say, but you know what I'm saying?
Well, no, hey, listen, that's a business strategy. However, sometimes, though, that could come back to bite you in the butt, because we never know if people really think of that $19.99 as a great deal for a great service, or do they look at it as a cheap service for a bad deal. Psychologically, like, for example, I've done and a great book, and I think we've written this on one of our blogs too, called Buyology, B-U-Y-ology. And the book was written about how psychologically people think about specific purchases and what triggers certain things in their mind to make them purchase. And not always what we may think it to be this way is it about price. Sometimes it's about the buzzwords, you know, about what's in it for me, WIIFM. You know, what am I going to get out of this? What do they see the vision to be? How do they put themselves into the copy? In other words, you're talking about developing self-esteem and confidence. Well, do they see that for their child? If you don't word it right, they may not. They're just looking at $19.99. Let me give it a go. It's not really that costly. Let's see what goes on.
Right? Yep. So, no, really, I totally agree.
Yeah, so it that's good, though. And I love that you said testing. Most people don't take the time to test. What they do is, and this used to be in the industry, I remember when I was with NAPMA like 20 years ago, whatever it was, that, you know, they'd send me an ad every single month. And then John Grayton, at one point when he owned NAPMA, he basically said, you don't need 27 or 52 ads. You only need really a good 5 or 6 ads that are seasonal, because you want to advertise with a really good ad for the spring, for the summer, for the fall, for the winter. You don't need to change your copy, because why would you change it every week if it's working? Like, why would you take something that's bringing in leads and then change it and take the chance that maybe the new picture, the new buzzword, the new special is going to do as well? And then you might go, oh, and most people don't think that way. Most school owners don't think like, oh, my goodness, I made a mistake. They think like, okay, well, it's slow right now, or, you know, people are, you know, doing blah, blah, blah. Really not knowing that it's about tweaking a specific ad more, little by little, headline, offer, tweaking that ad, picture, and seeing what your results are, doing test studies, and then and seeing, like, once you find the magic, then you run that ad until it doesn't bring people in anymore. You just keep on running it.
Absolutely. And I'll give you an example for that. Karate for Christmas, maybe 3 years ago, we ran a different ad. I didn't want to do it, but my staff was like, you know, especially my head instructor and my program director and my wife too. She's like, I'm too wordy. There's too much words in there. So I said, okay, this year we'll run a picture based ad. We'll have the picture on there. We'll have the same headline that I've always used. And then the same offer. But it was just a picture-based headline and then offer. A little bit of copy in there, very, very little. and it did horrible that year. I mean,
right.
that year was bad. And I can't even tell you. I mean, we had 25 people do it, and this year we had 66 people do it. I think is what it was.
Right.
And then we had to give two back because two people didn't want to do it. So 64 that actually did it. So it's true. I mean, number one, you're not paying for the picture to be in there. You're paying for words to be in there to obviously invoke that response from that individual. But it's important. I think testing is quite important, and you know, we could do a whole nother call on what you need to test and why you need to test it. But I was going to say that in reference to what you were talking about before, when you were saying about leads and prospects and suspects, that was actually call number 44, episode number 44. If somebody's looking for that, I know to date that is actually our most popular call that we did, where it says I can get you 100 leads per month. And,
right.
So that's on there. I just wanted to, if people were wondering what call that was, you said the last one we did, it was actually a couple of ones ago, but you know, they all kind of flow in for us.
Right. Right. Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, that's great though. I mean, I think we've covered a lot. This is a pretty long call anyway. I think that we're almost at 40 minutes or something like that. So, I mean, we've given a lot out on this one as well. I'm hoping that people, like I said, watch, listen to it, enjoy it, drive in their car, and it stimulates ideas, like the two little gems that I threw out, the ransom note and the raffle tickets on all events. Those things are just huge, and you could do those in your dojo at any given point during the time. It doesn't have to be at a special event. You could just have people walk in, and there are five raffles. And, yeah, you give away $150 worth of product. However, you get, you know, thousands of dollars worth of leads from people who are showing you their interest in it. So I will dig out that ransom note and send it to you, Dwayne, so that you could attach it to this call, and then we could share that with our listeners.
Sounds good. Any last words on leveraging?
No, I think we covered a lot, man. I think that was a lot to give people. I think that was something that we should really, just kind of leave it as it is, or else we're going to be information overload.
Well, everybody share this with other school owners, and we appreciate you listening and obviously sharing it with other people. And Allie, you can end the call.
Yeah, all right, guys. Everybody, thanks so much for listening once again on our Monday morning call. I hope that you'll take what we've talked about and turn it into, you know, millions of dollars. So good luck, and thanks for listening, and please tell your friends. And we'll talk to you next week.